بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر، كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون، كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. Mutual rivalry of piling wealth diverts you from your real objectives, Akhirat and the reward of the hereafter. You are diverted from the real objectives, these the rewards that are perpetual, lasting and much better, through your indulgence in piling up wealth until you visit the graves. No, soon will you realize. لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. Had you only had the certainty of knowledge, then you wouldn't have behaved like this. So the reason for your diversion from the real objectives is that you don't have that level or the desired level of yaqeen. Had you had the desired level of yaqeen, then this would not have been your behavior. You will then see the Jahannam, the blazing fire, and then will you see it with the certainty of sight. That is the highest level of certainty of sight. You have seen it with your own eyes. Then will you be questioned on that day about the comforts that you had enjoyed. The surah is recited, and with the surah is the hadith that man says that this is my wealth. Boastfully he says, this is mine, investments, properties, whether he's saying it to people or he's saying it to himself and finding some type of satisfaction, this is my wealth. But what really belongs to him, it's the food that is eaten and wasted, or it is the clothing that is put on and worn out, or it is the charitable deeds that he has done and sent forth for himself. The rest of it is not his. He's going to be leaving it, and it is going to be the property of his heirs and his dependents. The other hadith that is often quoted with the surah is the son of Adam alayhi salam says, if he had just a valley of gold, then he will aspire for the next. And nothing fills his belly but the sand. It is the sand of the grave. This is the thing that fills his belly. Thereafter, he doesn't aspire. And وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ تَابُ. But then how do we get out of this? Allah Ta'ala says that the person who turns towards Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala looks at him with grace. He is gracious towards the person that looks towards him, that turns towards him. Unfortunately, mankind is drunken with these two things, either excess of wealth, piling up of wealth, or influence and power. This is the thing that most men or all men live for, either to pile up wealth and property, or to have an additional power and influence. So both these things, we should look at the end and the consequence of both. Wealth, we have to leave them sooner or later, and then it becomes a very difficult moment when we part. Even in this very life, we see the end of wealth, the wealth that we have used up, and then in a day's time, what is the condition of that wealth that we have eaten? By the morning, what is the state of that, what we have been eating, all the delicacies, the comforts. So this is the nature of the world, that whatever you're going to be using, just in a day's time, you will see the consequence of this, and this becomes most disgusting. Then if you look at power and influence that we live for, then it is a very distressful moment when we are torn apart from that power of ours. We are stripped of the power. Then it is a moment of distress. It's very difficult. There are tears. We fight to try and secure that power and that influence. But at some point, then the power, we are stripped of the power. And that is a very difficult moment where we have to be stripped up of the power. So these are the two things that you look for, but this is the consequence of both these things. So many a man is drowned with these two things until he has to meet up with death. Zurtumul maqabir, grave, that is, he meets up with death, then does he realize. When he sees reality striking him in the face, then Allah Pak says, had he only had the certainty of knowledge, he pondered about the consequence of life, then he wouldn't have behaved like this. He wouldn't have made this his goal. He wouldn't have made this objective. Now, you have drowned yourself into this. You don't want to see the realities. You know, you don't want to see what's the consequence of piling up of wealth madly. Then you will have to go to Jahannam. And لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ, and you will see it with the certainty of sight, that is, at the highest level of certainty, the highest level is you seeing it your own eyes. So you will see it with your eyes. So this is the highest level of certainty. And then would you be questioned about the comforts that you had engaged and enjoyed. Therefore the hadith says, that until you don't furnish the answers of these questions, you will not be able to move on the day of Qiyamah. Wealth, how and where did you acquire, and how and where did you spend? Today it's a joy, it is a relief, it is a comfort. But on that day, how did you enjoy it? How did you use that wealth? How did you earn it rightfully, wrongfully? Did you spend it rightly, wrongfully? Did you spend it to show and to impress upon people? Or did you use it just for the need? So how did you earn it? Were you concerned about halal and haram? Were you concerned about obligations of Allah Ta'ala, of namaz, etc.? Were you concerned about the rights of people or not? How did you spend that wealth that we had granted you? And how did you earn that wealth? Number two, how did you spend your time? And number three is, how did you spend your youth? So one is wealth, how did you earn it, and how did you spend it? Two questions already. The third question is, your life, how did you spend your life, and particularly your youth, how did you spend it? So four questions. And the fourth is the knowledge that you possessed, then how much did you practice upon the knowledge that you possessed? So in short, all the comforts that you enjoyed, whether it was good health, good food, good homes, good parents, living and born in Islam, and living and being blessed with respect and dignity, that your faults had been concealed, and Allah Ta'ala has only shown the good part of you. So all these things, all these are the favors of Allah Ta'ala. And what level of appreciation and gratitude do we show for this? وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. By the token of time, man is in a loss. Except for those who believe and do righteous works, and they encourage the truth, and they encourage each other on constancy and patience. The oath and the answer to the oath are related, as it is the general style of the Quran Sharif. So there is a relationship between time and man being in a loss. So when we examine time, then we see all that we do is contained in the vessel of time. Whether it is the deed, whether it's the enjoyment, whether it is the character that we portray, whether it is the crimes that we commit, the vice that we get involved in, the virtues that we engage our lives in, whatever we are doing, everything is contained in the vessel of time. So person doesn't realize the importance of this vessel, that he will abuse it, he will misuse it. As long as you've got this vessel, then you can exploit, you can enjoy, you can heap, and you can continue multiplying. But the time is gone, and that vessel is taken away from you. Now you can't fill in anything thereafter, after that point. So man is genuinely in a loss, but he doesn't realize the importance and the virtue of time. It is such a capital that cannot be preserved or freed. Normally a capital can be frozen, or it can be preserved in some way or the other. But time is such, it's just melting away, and nobody can preserve it, nobody can freeze it or keep it in the storage and expect it to continue and last for him. It will just go on, never resting time. Time is just moving on and on. So within this time, what are you going to accumulate? What are you going to heap up? What are you going to put into the vessel of time? So if you understand what is time, then generally you are moving towards prosperity. But if you fail to understand and realize time, indefinitely you are in a loss. But there's an exception. Who are those people that realize what is the value of time? So people with these four actions. One is those who believe and do righteous works, and then encourage one another in constancy and truth, and encourage one another in patience and constancy. So these are the people that are an exception to this law of loss. So they invested the time, they understood, so they are right in their faith, they are right in their behavior and actions, and then they are not just self-centered and concerned about themselves, like they are concerned about their own virtue and own goodness, then they are concerned about others as well. We have acquired it, and then it is our duty to promote it and to encourage our brethren, our friends, our families, and our people towards the truth, towards righteousness and virtue, and also encourage them upon patience and constancy. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi says that a man's obstruction in life are one of two things. One is the weakness of faith, call it doubts, or call it the weakness of faith. On account of the weakness of faith, then he is not motivated and driven towards action. He doesn't have that desired certainty. He doesn't have the desired yaqeen. When he doesn't have the desired yaqeen, there's nothing to push him towards that act. Like we have that yaqeen in wealth, that I have this wealth and this is what I will be able to purchase. So we strive for that wealth because we have that level of certainty on wealth. But with regards to the hereafter and the life after death, we don't have that level of certainty. So this is the first impediment in the life, in the road to success. The first impediment in the path to the hereafter is the weakness of faith, weakness of certainty. So once this weakness is out and it's replaced with certainty and certainty of sight, as though you are seeing Jannah, you're seeing Jahannam, the step that you are taking towards righteousness is a step towards Jannah. You can see it with your own eyes. Is a step towards the comfort of the hereafter, and you are seeing it in reality, then it's impossible that you're seeing it and then you will desist. You will only desist if you don't have the desired level of certainty. So the first obstruction on the path of virtue is this weakness of faith. And the second obstruction that is on the path of virtue is temptation. That you know that this is the right, but the temptation gets the better over you. You are blinded for that moment. Your sight and your vision is blocked for that moment. And then you drown yourself in temptation. Thereafter you realize what a folly, what a mistake I have committed. So these are two things that man normally is diverted on account of he is stopped from virtue and progressing. Then Allah Ta'ala shows, what are you supposed to be doing? If you want to be really appreciative, then see that your faith is right. And you be right yourself. See that your behavior is right, your dealings are right, your deeds are right. But then with that, then you cannot be comfortable, you cannot be content just with your personal righteousness. Then encourage according to your capacity, according to your level, according to your position, how much you can encourage others, you encourage your family, your folks, your friends, your neighbors, people that meet up with you, how bad will it look that you have worked yourself and you're moving towards Jannah, whereas your family, your folks are all moving towards Jahannam. Is it a pleasant sight? So if you want to go with all of them, family, friends, folks, and household, then you need to be strong and then encourage them. Go on encouraging. The encouragement is not a thing of a day or a two, but it's a lifestyle. It has to be done every day. Every day it has to be done. So there's two types of encouragement. One, encouragement on acts of virtue and righteousness. Number two, there's going to be impediments and obstructions on the path. So you will have to tell your passengers that be firm, be patient, and be constant. Things are not be troubling you. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be things that are going to be distracting you. So against all this, that you will need to resist, and you will need to be firm and constant. And amongst the Sahaba Kiram, there were two people that they will not part until they recite the Surah Wal Asr. Therefore, Imam Shafi Rahmatullah used to say that had there been no other Surah, no other verse of the Quran but the Surah, it would be sufficient for the needs of mankind. Al Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says that this is not an act of virtue, where a person is just self-centered, concerned about himself, and he's not worried about his household, his family. He's not concerned about encouraging his friends, those that come easily under his influence, on righteousness and virtue, on constancy and patience, that remain constant, resist, don't become a victim of circumstances or of temptation. Like your Stufi.